Welcome into Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm Ryan Porth, filling in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. And Floyd, last hour we learned that Marcus Mariota is, quote, about the same as he has been. Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin were both limited at practice today. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting pretty tired of talking about Marcus Mariota's health.
Yeah.
I mean, this is his fourth year in the league, in the National Football League, with Matt LaFleur and a new offense, and he can't afford to be behind the eight ball. He cannot afford to have that happen. And it just seems like every single time a Marcus Mariota discussion comes up, the but is always the health. Well, now the health has struck again right off the bat. In week one, he misses week two, and now he's about the same in week three. We have no idea whether or not he's going to play Sunday in Jacksonville. As a fan of this team, Floyd, I'm losing a little bit of trust in him being the starting quarterback, the franchise quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, because you can't trust him to be on the field.
Well, we've always said, I mean, the most important ability is availability. And if you're not available, then you're not much use, to be honest. And I think he understands that. And I don't, you know, again, I remember his rookie year. The big thing we talked about in the offseason was the fumbling. We got to get him to eliminate the fumbling. And if he can do that, then we'll be good. Well, then we started on a rash of, you know, knee, and then we went to a leg, broken leg, and now we've gone to this, and had hamstrings last year. I mean, it's just one thing after another, and the impression I get, and I don't really know the kid, but the impression I get is that, you know, he's not out messing around all night. I mean, he's, you know, kind of a homebody. He comes home and chills with his girlfriend or fiance or whatever, and, you know, watches a little TV. I mean, he's not, doesn't appear to me to be one of those guys you would be really worried about his nutrition or his rest or his, you know, is he taking care of his body? And yet it's really having a hard time staying together.
I mean, this isn't a Jameis Winston situation where Jameis Winston is running into trouble off the field.
No.
Or Johnny Manziel, who is completely undisciplined off the field. Marcus Mariota comes across, like you said, as someone who does all the right things off the field.
Right.
But on the field, he can't stay healthy. Like you said, in 2015, his rookie year, he suffered a knee injury twice, got knocked out of games twice, home Miami at New England. And then 2016 suffered, it was a freak injury, but it was a big injury, the broken leg down in Jacksonville in week 16 with their playoff hopes on the line that year. And then last year, he suffers the hamstring injury. He misses the game down in Miami. They lose that game. He was never 100% the rest of the way. And then, you know, he does win the playoff game in Kansas City. And now in week one of his fourth year, has this freak elbow injury. And at some point, you're going to get the injury-prone label, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you open up the game of operation and you have Marcus Mariota's body on the game, his body is red right now. I mean, you've got the elbow, you've got the hamstring, you've got the leg, you've got the knee. I mean, you know the game operation? Do your grandkids play that at all?
I don't.
Haven't played operation since I was like probably 4 years old, but all I know is more red in the game operation, the worse it is. And Marcus Mariota's body right now on operation, if you had someone in a number 8 Titans jersey on the game of operation and it was all red, that is Marcus Mariota.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt but that I don't think anybody is willing to call him injury prone right now. I don't think anybody is there, but they're certainly on the doorstep. I mean, I don't know how, you know, after all the things, because as you said earlier, we've gotten to the point where you can't finish a sentence about Marcus without finishing it with, and if he stays healthy, or if he stays healthy. You know, how good's he got? He's going to, if he stays healthy.
He's going to flourish with Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, how good's this offense going to be? It's going to be great
healthy.
If he stays healthy. And I think that's something that he has to learn. He has to start guarding against, because The worst thing about the NFL is most people don't know you by who you are. They know you by the labels that, that the league gives you. And once you get a label like injury prone, I mean, it's like blood in the water. You know, I mean, they, you think they're going to slow down when what they're going to do is really speed up. So, concern.
615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on Marcus Mariota. Chris has been waiting patiently. Chris, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Hey, brothers, how y'all doing?
Good.
All right. I just want to say, first of all, that I'm a pastor, so prayers over the rocks develop much. And I think that Marcus is a good man. I had an injury myself. I'm a fuel hauler by trade. And I had to spend a 300-pound gas hose forward to make sure that Exxon product didn't come out and get on the ground. And I tweaked my neck, and they was talking about a nerve block. And I lost my wife to colon cancer. She was a doctor. So I asked her about what the nerve block was. She said, what they do, they go in there and they trick the nerve to where you don't even know what's happened. I said, no, don't want to do that because God gave it to me. I want to keep it. But anyway, all I'm saying is that anybody that's listening right now, just pray for Marcus. I think he's a good man. And I feel like he wanted to be out there Sunday. It burned him up to not be out there and be in the game. But he couldn't. Mm-hmm. But I still say that to say this, that I believe there's still some good in Marcus, and we need to lift Marcus up. And even if Marcus is listening, I'm lifting Marcus up. So let's lift Marcus up. And let's go it on and get behind him, because I feel like he can get past his injury, and I believe he can come out and be the quarterback that he is. I thank y'all for the call.
Thanks, Chris, for calling in. Floyd?
Yeah. I mean, I can't disagree with that.
I mean, my response to that is I respect everything that he said on the call. It's hard to get behind Marcus when he's not on the field.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I don't think any of us, or I haven't heard anybody. In fact, we just talked about it a second ago. Nobody's questioning him or what he's doing or his attitude or his willingness or his want to or any of that. It's all, you know, the fact that, you know, if it almost might be easier if he was the other way.
Yeah.
If he was doing all that stuff, he'd go, hey, you got to cut that out. Now you, okay. And then maybe change. But he's doing all the right stuff. And we're getting this.
Yeah. And I
where do you go from there?
I truly do feel bad for Marcus Mariota. I really want Marcus Mariota to work out. I mean, he is fun to watch. He is, you know, in the fourth quarter of games last year, you could tell that he had that will to win, and it pains me to watch Marcus get hurt all the time. But I do see people on Twitter say that, you know, Marcus is soft. He's not soft. Marcus Mariota, if he was soft, he wouldn't have thrown that block in the wild card game to free open Derrick Henry. Marcus Mariota is not soft. The old man in A Christmas Story said it best, Floyd.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Marcus Mariota is Hawaiian, and he is fragile. Not fragile, he's fragile, Floyd. Because you can't trust him to go on the field and not get hurt. It just feels like he's a pane of glass out there. And that's not a knock on him as a person at all. But when he is backing, you know, dropping back in the pocket or scrambling, I fear that he's about to get hit and get knocked out of the game. That's where we've come to now with Marcus Mariota.
Well, I mean, I think we've talked about this before, and I think you've got some numbers or whatever I know you're talking about that, I mean, it. The numbers show that. And so it's just sad. It's unfortunate because I don't, you know, you can't, I don't know how you rectify it. I don't know how you fix it. When you're doing everything right and these things happen, then, you know, you're right. I mean, it's got to, at some point in time, you're starting to say, wait a minute now. This is one or two things. You know, either you aren't tough enough, and I'm not questioning his toughness, or you're just brittle and an accident prone.
Maybe not brittle, but...
fragile. It must be Italian.
It's fragile, and I hate saying it. And I wanted to be in denial the last 2 years when my buddies have been saying, Marcus Mariota is fragile. I'm like, no, he's not. He's just had a couple freak injuries. But Floyd, you can't trust him right now.
There's another freak injury?
He gets hit. He doesn't even get hit in the elbow. You can't even see it. It's this mystery elbow injury. And Joe Rexroad quoted Marcus Mariota after practice today, and maybe we'll hear it after the break, where Marcus was talking about the elbow, and he said, it's like a guitar string that has been strummed, still waiting for it to totally stop vibrating. Like, if he goes back out there and he gets popped in the elbow and or hits his elbow on a teammate's helmet while following through on a pass, is that guitar going to strum again? Like,
yeah, I mean, is this something you have to worry about all year long or all career long? Or, you know, when does this go away?
As a fan of this team, I'm worried about the franchise quarterback. I'm worried. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on Marcus Mariota, Coach Mike Vrabel said today that Mariota is, quote, about the same as he was last week, and that Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin were both limited today but are inching closer to returning to the field. Elliot on Twitter, in response to Chris's call, Chris was the pastor who just called in. Elliot says, quote, we going to church today. I love it. Marcus is going to rise up this Sunday.
Great.
Elliot,
I'm all for it.
I hope Elliot is right. Jared the GM, ESPN 1025, the game streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. Jared on the GM, ESPN 1025, the game streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon. He will be back tomorrow. I'm alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, later this hour, our listeners will have a chance to qualify for a trip to Bristol, Connecticut for an ESPN experience like no other.
Ooh.
They can sit on a live taping of Golic and Wingo. They can have customized VIP ESPN headquarters experience, including tour of the studios and lunch with members of the ESPN team.
They will be very impressed.
If you are a fan of the worldwide leader of sports in that four-letter network, this is a trip that you want to qualify for, and your chance is going to come later this hour. So be listening for that cue to call to qualify for that trip. Marcus Mariota met with the media earlier this hour, and here's what he had to say about his injury.
How's the hand doing, and how frustrating is it maybe that it's been a week now, and or more than a week, and how much improvement difference have you seen?
Well, it's getting better, but yeah, it is frustrating. You know, it is hard because it's one of those things, like, you can't really do a whole lot. It'll kind of calm down and feel better as it wants to. That being said, though, it is getting better, and you know, I'm glad I was able to be out there today.
Waking up every day, kind of, I mean, I'm thinking this could be the day where it kind of...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wake up, the first thing I do is kind of mess around with my hand. So, honestly, I think it's close. But, again, we're just going to kind of take it one day at a time.
What is the treatment, Marcus? What are you doing when you're not...
Just trying to build the strength back in the hand. You know, just taking a little bit of rest. I mean, honestly... It is hard. The way that they explain it to me, it's like when you strum a guitar string. When that string settles down, that's kind of similar to how my nerve is. My nerve's kind of been strummed, and it's going to take its time to settle down.
And you know it's getting better because your grip's better, because you can throw it better, because the numbness has gone away. Is it a combination of all that? Or?
Yeah, for sure. And really, I think every single day it's just being out here trying to throw, see where it's at, and just see where it is.
How do you feel like you are now, Marcus, in terms of like velocity and grip, like close to 100%?
I don't want. I have no idea. I mean, I can't give you an exact number, but it does feel better.
Is it the entire hand, or is it just a couple of fingers that are?
It's really, honestly, it's the whole hand, you know. But the numbness and the tingliness is a couple fingers. The weakness is kind of the whole hand, and that's what I've been working on.
What's the glove do for you?
It just helps with the grip.
How close did you come to playing on Sunday?
It was close, and you know, ultimately the coaches made a decision, and you know, it's for the betterment of the team. You got to be prepared and ready for whatever they decide. And I thought Vrabel did a good job of putting the team in the best situation possible.
During the individual period, it looked like you started to feel a little bit better. The ball spun a little bit better. Did you kind of settle in, so to speak, that nerve during you were throwing today?
Yeah, I would say so. And again, it was good just to be out here to get reps to see where it's at. You know, and I think as the week continues on, hopefully it'll continue to calm down.
The full glove today, you've cut off two fingers. Is there a
just trying to find whatever works? To be honest with you, you know, trying to figure out what's going to help me get out there and feel comfortable.
Do they have to pretty much trust you on this? Because nobody knows what you're feeling as far as the numbness. I mean, that they put complete faith in you that you're going to give them an accurate assessment of how you feel, and that's what's going to make the decision whether you play.
Yeah, and it comes out just being honest and communicating. You know, when we're out here, I'm sure, you know, they're watching, they're paying attention to see how it's coming out. And ultimately, we'll all kind of come together and make a decision.
That was Marcus Mariota after practice today, in which he did take some reps and throw balls in the open period for the media. According to Travis Haney of The Athletic, Marcus Mariota had trouble completing passes beyond 10 to 15 yards. Mike Vrabel said he was about the same. Marcus Mariota says he's getting better, but he's frustrated by the process. Floyd, I don't know what to think, who to believe on this entire thing. What were kind of your thoughts hearing Marcus talk about the injury right there?
You know, I thought when listening to him talk that he was feeling better. You know, I got encouraged. I thought, okay. Yeah, he's feeling better. He's getting, and then he started describing what was going on, and I'm going, what are we talking about here? You know, about, oh, this is numb and no strength and this and that and the other, and strumming a guitar, and I'm going, wait a minute now, what is all this? So I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm in the dark again.
I don't feel any better about Marcus's health and his status after hearing him talk, even though he says he got better because of all the things that you just brought up. Right. I mean, it still sounds like a struggle for him to find comfort in throwing the ball. And if you're still struggling on Wednesday, are you really going to find comfort in the next 2 days?
Oh, I think that's the question that we don't have the answer to.
I don't, and it doesn't sound like he has an answer to it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody keeps talking about where you're just waiting for that day that you wake up. I mean, what happens? What's the magic that happens overnight that you just wake up and all of a sudden, I'm fixed. All right, let's go win a game. Let's go. You know, I don't understand that logic.
It's when he stops feeling the strumming of a guitar in his elbow.
Yeah.
That is going to be the moment in which he feels like he's close to being ready, I guess.
I don't know. Again, this is all my years, I don't know that I've ever remembered anybody having this injury. And if they did have it, I don't know that I ever remembered being very concerned about it.
And
it wasn't a quarterback, obviously. But.
Right. But it's not like he got hit on the elbow in Miami. He got hit in the thigh knee area, and it's how he landed. And that's how he suffered the injury that he has now, still 10 days later.
Yeah, I don't know. He was hit on the left side. I know that. His non-throwing side. The guy, the contact, you know, the head.
Right, from William
body.
Hayes.
Yeah.
That should have been called.
What happened on the other side? Did his elbow hit the helmet? Did it hit a foot? Did it hit a – I have no clue to any of that. I mean, it didn't – as far as – collisions go, I mean, it was not a very violent collision. You know, I mean, you watch what happens to running backs and quarterbacks when they're sitting in the pocket, and I mean, he's been hit a whole lot worse than that.
What is it about Marcus Mariota and the Miami Dolphins? His rookie year, he gets popped by Olivier Vernon.
Yeah.
That was a more egregious hit than the one he took from William Hayes. He takes that from William Hayes in week one. Last year, the only game he missed was against Miami. And it was the most brutal 3 hours of football I've ever sat through.
Yeah. Well, we need to quit playing Miami one way or another.
Yeah, they need to get Miami out of the AFC.
That's right.
Put them in the NFC. Marcus Mariota cannot handle the Miami Dolphins, apparently.
Amazing.
I don't feel any better after hearing that. I just don't. I wonder if the callers do. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on Marcus. Kenny has been waiting patiently. Kenny, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Two things. I said this since, I think it was Jake Locker. The Tennessee Titans organization is where good quarterbacks come to end their careers. I don't remember. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is the only one playing still in the NFL. Am I wrong there?
The only former Titans quarterback still playing in the National Football League?
Yeah.
That could be right. Thinking about
okay.
it. Matt, now, well, now Matt other... Castle. Matt Castle is the backup in Detroit. I will say that.
Okay. Two. How many have we gone through? Is it a quarterback problem? Is it a coaching problem? I don't know. But that I'm just throwing that out there. That's just something to eat.
Yeah, thanks, Kenny, sorry, Kenny. I cut him off as he was going to go to another point. Yeah. Floyd, your thoughts on what he had to say there about?
I mean, this is not a race you want to get into. You know, how many quarterbacks can we go through in 10 or 15 years? You don't want to participate in this.
You
and
do not.
I think you see the franchises in the league that struggle for the same reason, which is they can't find a quarterback. And you can look at whatever franchise that has lost for periods of time over time. And the one thing you'll see in probably Cleveland right now is the best example of this. I mean, they've been through, since 99. Yeah. I think it's something like, 28 quarterbacks or whatever it is.
I was going to guess about 58, but I'm sure
yeah,
it's
you
closer
might be right.
to 20. It's been a lot.
It's all. And consequently we know what their record has been.
There was a fan with the Miami Dolphins that owns a jersey for every starting quarterback that the Miami Dolphins have had in like the last 20 years. And he had them all spread out on like the floor or something. I saw a photo of this last season. He's got a Cleo Lemon jersey.
Wow.
That's probably the only Cleo Lemon jersey that exists.
Well, you think about them. I mean, they haven't.
Sage Rosenfels.
You know, they since Dan.
John
Marino.
Beck.
I mean, they've had nobody. So it's been a struggle.
Jay Fiedler.
And the opposite of that is those teams that are good enough to have the quarterbacks, I mean, they win a lot of games for a long time.
Gus Frerotte.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just, you know, again, every time I hear people talk like that, I go, my God, let's don't get in this.
Dante Culpepper.
Stay away.
Dante Culpepper, Trent Green. Remember when the Dolphins decided to sign Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees?
Oh, absolutely.
Whoops.
Drew Brees couldn't pass the physical. It was amazing. You know, Nick loved him. Nick wanted to sign him. In fact, we wanted to sign him at the same time. And
did you really?
And Nick he didn't pass the physical for Nick. So we went kind of like, oh, okay, that's it. And
did you have a meeting set up with Drew Brees, like a in-person visit with him?
I had talked to his agent a little bit.
Okay.
You know, so we were... This was a long, long time ago. I can see the light. Your eyes lighting up.
This is the first time I'm hearing of this.
Yeah, this is a long, long time ago.
I think Floyd Reese just broke some news. Titans almost signed Drew Brees. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I wish.
But you thought about it. So that would have been.
And when he didn't pass the physical for them, then okay,
was that
he's not going to pass the physical.
Was that the offseason where you guys drafted Vince Young?
Wow.
06? Or was that 05? 06 sounds right because Philip Rivers was drafted in 04
it
and sat
a,
for 2 years.
It was the 05 or 06 season.
I want to say that was that would have been
Brees
06.
Was right around
so
there.
That would have been after or around the time that you guys parted ways with Steve McNair. He went to Baltimore.
Right.
And had not drafted a quarterback yet.
Right.
And Vince Young.
Well, the plan was to have Steve finish his career and Vince be the backup. And that was the way it was going to happen. Was Steve still had a couple more years to play. We knew that. And we said, okay, fine. We'll go ahead and draft this guy. You'll be the quarterback. He'll be the backup. So that when you retire, he just steps right in, continues on the same way you were. Well, that didn't work out either.
Uh-huh. Vince was never the same after you left. I'll just put it.
Drew Brees'
like that.
First year in New Orleans was 2006.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So this would have been right around the time that you guys were going through the quarterback change. Interesting. Breaking news on Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Titans were on the verge of signing Drew Brees. I'm just kidding, Floyd. That is interesting, though. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on Marcus Mariota. Are we losing trust in the Titans franchise quarterback? Can we call him a franchise quarterback if he's not on the field? Some interesting stats that I looked up earlier today that would suggest that he may not be a, quote, franchise quarterback. That's all coming up next.
Scary stats. Scary, scary stats.
Scary stats indeed. That's all coming up next. I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman. Alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, this is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet, I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman this afternoon, alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd?
Sir?
We're not eligible to win, but the listeners need to keep listening for the cue to call this hour to win the to qualify for the ESPN Bristol Sweepstakes.
Oh, that would be a great trip. So they'd really enjoy that.
Keep listening, yep, and follow the cue to call, and you could qualify for that trip, and then we will be announcing the winner next Friday on this show in the 5 o'clock hour. All right. So Mike Vrabel says Marcus Mariota is about the same. Marcus Mariota says he's getting better, and he did participate in some of practice today. But other comments that he made would make you think that he is still unsure of his status moving forward and when he's going to return to the lineup because of the elbow injury that he suffered in week one at Miami.
Strumming, numbness, tingling, loss of strength. None of that sounds good to me.
it's just like a total mystery injury. Like, I'm not going to compare it to Andrew Luck's shoulder because that was a complete mystery, but I hope to you know what that this doesn't become an Andrew Luck situation where he's week to week and it's just not getting any better.
Yeah.
I pray and hope at night that that it does not become that kind of situation. Had this thought earlier today, Floyd.
Okay.
And I am losing trust as a Titans fan in Marcus Mariota being this franchise's, quote, franchise quarterback. And I had that thought before I looked up some stats that aren't exactly great.
Stats didn't help you,
for Marcus Mariota. No, the stats made me feel a little worse, actually. So Marcus Mariota has had the chance to play in 50 games since he was named starter before week one of his rookie year at Tampa Bay. Three full seasons plus the two games this season. He has had the chance to be on the field for 50 games. He has played in 43 of them, but he has only completed 39. So he has started and finished only 39 of 50 possible games in his NFL career. That's a 78. That is a rate of 78%. Okay. Other franchise quarterbacks that are legitimate franchise quarterbacks in their career. Aaron Rodgers, since he took over for Brett Favre, 90%. Tom Brady, 92%. Drew Brees, 99% ever since he went to New Orleans. Ben Roethlisberger has been banged up his entire career and has still managed to be in 89% of the games. Cam Newton, 96%. Matthew Stafford, 87%. Matthew Stafford has been very healthy since his sophomore year in the NFL. Phillip Rivers and Russell Wilson have both never missed a start in the NFL, 100%. Joe Flacco, 96%. Derek Carr, 97%. Jameis Winston, 88%, despite some of the off-field troubles that he has. Steve McNair with the Titans was 85%. And Marcus at 78% in terms of finishing games that of the 50 possible games that he could play, he has only finished 78% of them. I don't like where that's going.
Well, no, especially when a bunch of those names that you read, I mean, a bunch of those names, I mean, literally every week defenses are trying to kill them now. I mean, the Tom Brady's and all those guys. I mean, every weekend the number one objective is we have got to knock him down. We have got to get him off his point. We have got to make a move. We've got to do something or else he's going to beat us.
Think of Phillip Rivers, all the hits that he's taken over the years. Didn't he play through a torn ACL against the Patriots in the AFC Championship years back?
Yeah.
He's never missed a start ever since he took over when Drew Brees left.
And he takes hits now.
He takes a lot of hits.
Oh, yeah.
Russell Wilson takes a lot of hits.
Russell Wilson takes a lot of hits.
And you said it best last hour is sometimes the best ability is availability.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not available, I would say probably more than 80 to 90% of the time, it's hard to consider you a franchise quarterback when you're not available once every five games.
Well, yeah. I mean, the truth is you can't – if you're going to be unavailable that many times – at that rate, then I don't know how you can be considered a franchise quarterback.
And Marcus Mariota is, for some people, has already acquired the injury-prone label, right? I mean, some people already consider him injury-prone.
Probably.
And this percentage is at 78%.
Yeah.
Tony Romo, was he injury-prone when he was in the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
75%.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, would you say he's been injury-prone?
One giant injury. I mean, I don't know if that's categorized it or not, but that was a giant injury.
Andrew Luck has completed 73% of the possible games that he has been able to play in the National Football League. And then Sam Bradford from 2010 to 2016 was 71%.
Yeah, he is injury prone.
Alex Smith. Alex Smith was very injury prone early in his career with the 49ers. I mean, he missed an entire season with a shoulder injury.
Right. In fact, he was a starting job at San Francisco and then lost that job to Kaepernick and got traded right after that.
And then he goes to Kansas City and
lights it up.
Well, yeah.
He was leading the league in passing when he got hurt in San Francisco. So, I mean, he gets going and he gets up there and he gets playing good and then whack. Now, he's learned to stay pretty healthy now. And you know, maybe Marcus will do that. But the problem with Marcus, I think, now is that you know, this has to happen now. You know, I mean, people are getting impatient. And you know what? I mean, the Titans are going to have a heck of a decision to make here before long.
I don't blame people who are getting impatient. I'm impatient.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's not a shot on Marcus Mariota as a person at all. I love Marcus Mariota. I want him to succeed. But as a Titans fan, as I said earlier this hour, I'm getting tired of talking about Marcus's health. This is his fourth year with a new offense, Matt LaFleur. This was supposed to be the make-or-break year for Marcus Mariota. And who knows, maybe he's in there week three, you know, this Sunday against Jacksonville and plays the rest of the season and lights it up. And all of this elbow nonsense is a thing of the past here shortly. But I do worry with all the frustrations that he's having with that elbow and being completely uncomfortable holding the ball, gripping the ball, and throwing the ball, that this is going to extend past Sunday.
And I mean, if you're Marcus, this has to be, you have to start questioning it too, you know. You're starting to go, wait a minute now. Why, I'm always hurt. Something's always dinged, you know. And I've only been in the league for, you know, just going on 4 years. And I've had a this and a that. And, you know, pretty soon you start saying, what's wrong? You know, what do I have to do? And we know this is killing him as much as anybody else, but that doesn't – I mean, all of those things, I think, we all know are there. You know, we know he cares. We know he's tough. We know it's all that stuff. And we know the team loves him, and we know, you know, the city loves him, and we want all this good stuff to happen. And I agree with that 1,000%. But none of that happens if you're hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the bottom line.
The best ability is availability.
Exactly.
615-737-1025. We'll get your opinions after the break, plus more stats on Marcus Mariota that suggest, I don't know if you can consider him a true franchise quarterback at this point in his career. I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM Floyd Reese. This is ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Congratulations to Justin Johnson. He is a qualifier for the ESPN Bristol Sweepstakes. He knew that the cue to call at the beginning of the last break, the ESPN personality, was Dan Le Batard.
Ooh.
Who you can hear 9 to noon weekdays on 94.9 Game 2. Justin Johnson is a qualifier, and in the 5 p.m. hour on Friday, September 28th, that is next Friday, we will announce the winner, and the qualifiers all have to be listening.
Good.
So, Justin, I hope you're listening to the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
For your chance to win this ESPN experience that is going to be really, really cool. We've been talking Marcus Mariota basically all hour long. The update from practice is that he did participate, but Mike Vrabel says he's about the same. Marcus said he's getting better, but a lot of the comments after that thought, you know, he doesn't sound very confident right now in how he can grip the ball, throw the ball, all those things. And Floyd and I are getting pretty tired of talking about Marcus Mariota's health. We want to be talking about Marcus Mariota, the quarterback, not Marcus Mariota, the injury-prone quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, this is his fourth season. We know this how important this season is. And we should be talking about, you know, leadership and how he's working with a new offense and, you know, touchdowns and percent of completions and how he's throwing the ball and all of those things that you, you know, you want to be talking about when you're talking about the guy that has been labeled a franchise quarterback, and we can't get there yet. You know, that's frustrating.
Frustrating, and it's a little scary.
Yeah.
A little scary. Scott has been waiting patiently to talk Marcus Mariota. Scott, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Hey, guys. I appreciate your show. You know, one thing that I have a problem with Mariota is he's not accurate. I believe Titans win that game in Miami if he throws the ball where it needs to be. So that's just one piece of the puzzle. But, you know, you have Robinson and, you know, you have Vrabel, because Vrabel comparing him to Tom Brady. I mean, you know, they've been with the best, Tom Brady. So, you know, there's a lot to this, but here's my question. And here's what I truly believe. I believe the Titans have moved on. And so my question to Coach Reese is, Floyd is this. The underlying question is, if you're the GM right now and the season ended, is Mariota on the team? That's question one. Question two, let's say he's not. How does that affect the salary cap? And, like, in his contract, if he doesn't play X games, do they not have to pay him? Or how does that work? And then what would happen if he went on injured reserve? How would that work? And that's really all I have, guys. I appreciate your show.
Thanks, Scott.
If he goes on injured reserve, he gets his full salary. There's no discount, you know, because you're injured and not playing. His cap and the effects of his contract for the at least this season are kind of written in stone. So there, you know, nothing is going to change as far as that's concerned. Now, what happens when it comes to picking up your option? And do you decline the option? And if you do decline the option, you know, where do you go from there? And those are the big-time questions they have to be asking themselves right now. And I don't know what the answers are. You know, it's really, really hard. And you know, the obvious thing you do in a situation like that, if you don't like the quarterback, well, you turn right around and draft one. But then you're starting the process all over again. You know, and we've went through this with Vince, we went through this with Jake, we went through this with, you know, if it happened to Mark, now you go through it with Mark. Well, you're talking about a decade, or you're talking about 15 years or whatever it is of futility, and nobody wants to go through any of that anymore.
Floyd, I worry that if in 2, 3, 4 years, if they have to draft another quarterback, what this franchise is going to look like in terms of fan support. If it gets so bad to the point that they have to draft another quarterback in the first round, high in the first round, that means they went through another bad season. They might be going through another coaching change. Yeah. You know, Mike Vrabel is John Robinson's guy. I worry with the whole stadium issue, you know, a decade from now, that's going to be there. We're going to be talking about the stadiums. Or the stadium.
Oh, the stadium.
A decade from now.
Yeah, they're going to be gigantic.
And are the fans really going to want to be taxpayers for a new stadium if they keep going in a cycle that you don't want to get in, like the Cleveland Browns, like what the Oakland Raiders did for a while, like the Miami Dolphins at quarterback. Like you don't want to fall into that black hole.
No,
at all.
That's the scary part is you don't want to get to a point where you become a Cleveland or you become a Cincinnati before, you know, they settle down a little bit. But I mean, we've seen franchises that have been through this year after year after year. We don't want to get there.
I just hate the fact that this injury to Marcus has made people bring that up. At the beginning of his fourth year in the National Football League, his second year was so promising. He wins a playoff game last year. He gets this injury in week one, and there are people out there, some Titans fans, that think here in the next couple of years they're going to have to draft another quarterback.
Well, but the truth is they have to keep in mind that, you know, he could wake up tomorrow or come into practice and say, hey, it's great, I feel good.
The guitar,
you know,
stops
go out
strumming.
Sunday, yeah, go out Sunday and play lights out, and, you know, everything's back to normal.
Donnie has been waiting patiently. Donnie, welcome into ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Good afternoon, guys. Floyd, you brought up a name that I was just going to use. I believe Marcus is the Jake Locker of the Titans, round two. And my daughter is a doctor at Vanderbilt. And you were talking earlier about something when he fell, he had to hit a helmet or a face mask or a foot or something. And you're exactly right. That's exactly what she said. She said either he hit something or there's something else going on, because that nerve is not on even with the bone or the skin or whatever. I'm not a doctor. She is. But she said you don't hit that nerve just by falling on the ground. It don't happen. So there's either something else going on with Marcus or they're just trying to smooth it over and tell us as little as possible, which may be the case because that's usually the way it goes. But I'm ready to move on. I really am.
Oof.
I put him on a trade block and see what happens.
Thanks, Donnie, for the call. I don't know if I would go as far as Jake Locker. I mean, Jake Locker played in 52% of the games in his last 3 years with the Titans before he retired.
I mean, Jake couldn't, you know, like you said, Jake could play, what, 8 games a year?
The injuries,
you know,
that we're talking about with Marcus are, I don't want to say little, but they're not causing him to miss an entire season, but they're keeping him from being on the field. Jake Locker was suffering major injuries,
right,
that kept him out long periods of time.
Right. I mean, the part that's crazy about Marcus, and this has happened for the last couple of years, and you brought up the Miami thing, but it's happened early in the year. You know, when you think you're in the best shape of the entire season, gone through the offseason, you've gone through camp, you're healthy, you're conditioned, you're all of those kinds of things. I mean, he got hit in the knee in Miami early. He pulled a hamstring against Houston in, what, the second or third game. I mean, it seems like every year about the second or third game, something bad happens, and we got to suffer through that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't – you know, broken bones, that's just football, and that doesn't bother me. Pulled hamstrings, you got to be able to fix. Whatever this is with the elbow, you got to be able to fix. Those kinds of things, because, I mean, like a muscle, that's just a matter of taking care of it. And if that becomes, you know, part of your daily routine, hourly routine, whatever it is, you have to learn what it takes to get that fixed, and you've got to do it for the rest of your football career. Now, after you're done playing ball, you want to go out and pull hammies, feel free.
615-737-1025. More on Marcus Mariota coming up after the break. Catch Jared of the GM this Monday from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Twice Daily, located on Charlotte Avenue and 22nd Avenue in Nashville. We'll have your chance to win the Ultimate Tailgate prize pack and a pair of tickets to next Sunday's home game at Nissan Stadium. See details in-store or at thegamenashville.com. Don't leave without snapping a picture and tweeting it to hashtag TheGameKickoff for your chance to win. More on Marcus Mariota coming up next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman today. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.